Okay. Very good afternoon to all my brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 17 March 2020. So we are going to continue with our... May. I made a mistake. 17 May. We are going to continue from our sharing of the unique Dhamma code. We are at page 30, unique code 104. But before that, we will have the puja chanting, as usual. Then after that, maybe 40 minutes of meditation. Today we have more time. I will give you 40 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Okay. So let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Okay. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Oh, sorry. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipano bhagavato saokka sangho sanghang namami. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jana. Buddhang pujami. Damang pajene. Sanghang pajene. Okay. You all can be seated. We will get ready for meditation. But before we start, maybe I will give you some instruction. And at the same time, I would like to share a little bit on what Brother Chong shared with me. I think this is useful for most Kayanamita who still may not be very sure about the cultivation. So like I said, Brother Chong is new. He's from Kelantan. He was born in Kota Baru, but he stayed at another, I think, village, bordering Terengganu. Then he came down to PJ to study. Then he worked in PJ, stayed in Cheras. So there were conditions. He has been have this sincere intention to come and pay respect to me, to also get to know me. So finally, after 1 year, because of the MCO, there were conditions, he contacted me. And I said, where do you stay? He said, Cheras. Oh, I said, don't worry, I get Chin Hao to contact him. And Chin Hao suggested he can come yesterday, Saturday. So that was how it happened. And when they came, so many beautiful things happened. He was here for 3 hours. He came slightly before 2 p.m. Then left only at about 5:30. So what I want to share is, he is so far one of the fastest cultivator or practitioner who on his own. Just after listening to my YouTube sharing, then went to our website for about a year, according to him. He managed to learn so many things on his own, and he has so much joy. Like a lot of things happened to him, activated and all those things. Then he not only understand a lot of the sharing, he pointed out a very important fact. He said, Bro Theo, your sharing is so beautiful. He said, this is what I've been looking for. And he fully agree with what I say because he understand what sati is after I explained. Then he said in his own word, without sati, nobody can understand my teaching. The person who want to really understand my teaching and sharing must have sati. And his sati has developed so well. He also somehow from the past, he has a lot of past cultivation that is very conducive. So he also did anapanasati and finally become very quiet, very still. And in his own word, he can tell me, the mind become like completely still, no thought, no. It's just aware. But he didn't use the word aware. He used the word conscious. He just conscious. And he understand what that thing is. That's why he straight away can understand what I mean by the two type of mind, sing, wei, ken, pen. He straight away understand. He straight away understand the mundane mind, the creative aspect, the condition arising, dependent, originating, and the true mind, the silent mind, the self nature, which is that beautiful thing. And he was able to stabilize it until he can understand what I say. And the four support, he understood the first three. He said, relax is beautiful. Then maintain awareness, or just aware, conscious. Then he came to know. No need to know anything, just aware. Everything will be resolved. Then all the important unique code that I share, even about the meditation. And also, there is another aspect of the Dhamma which I always share. We choose accept everything as natural. He didn't mention this, but he managed to get the deep meaning when I say the real wisdom is when you can accept the world as the world, when you accept people the way they are. So people is just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like. He understood that straight away. And he said that was so beautiful. Helped him to resolve so much of his life problem, work problem. And he suddenly like can link the whole teaching. And all the right view that I shared, he has a lot of joy. Then when it comes to meditation, it becomes so easy. Yeah, he did his daily mindfulness. Oh, exactly like what I explained. Standing aware, lying down aware, sitting aware, walking aware. So the four posture, and he did his daily mindfulness when he wake up, then how he go to the toilet. Away. Then he said, as he walk, at times the understanding is such that he has this inquiry, who is walking? Like he can feel that there is nobody inside there walking. Just the form and mind through its conditioning and all those things. And all this he came to know on his own, without meeting me. But later on, I can sense many things. But after he report to me, the joy, the sincerity, the understanding. Well, he was so keen to share. He said, the first thing he came is, he want to pay respect first. He said, he learned so much, and he has helped him so much. So that was the story behind. Then when it comes to meditation, he said, it's so beautiful. Just relax. Maintain awareness. Or he said, just be conscious, aware. No need to know anything. The understanding will come. Then he just stabilized that. Then after that, he can understand my sharing. He can understand my teaching. And everything like fall into place. So beautiful. So today, the 40 minutes meditation, you just relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind silent down until it required. Then you are just like in that state of awareness. Or he used the word conscious, just conscious before the knowing. Like awareness before the knowing. From the word he used, maybe I think the word conscious is easier for you all to understand. You're just conscious, like in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, just that consciousness. No one to see. Means the mind is conscious or aware, but before the content went in. So the meditative mind is the pure awareness before the thinking, before the perception. So silence everything and let your mundane mind slow down and realize that quietness, that stillness. That is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind. Then from there, stabilize it. Then you will understand many things. Then use it to meditate. Okay? We will off the light. Then I will set the timer. Then you can have your 40 minutes of meditation. The 40 minutes will start now. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. So these are the mind state that you need to have while you are in the midst of living life, midst of going about doing your things. It can be your household duties or when you are in the office. And the key to meditation is to stabilize this mind state, especially the inner peace, the inner awareness. The mindfulness or the inner awareness is very important. You have to stabilize that. To stabilize that, you have to develop the ability to relax and maintain awareness until the thought becomes very quiet, very still, no more thinking. When there is no more thinking, then your mind is just aware. This mind that is just aware can be stabilized. Then wherever you anchor this mind, it will just stay there. It will maintain awareness of the object of meditation or the any part within your body, your kaya. So if you are familiar with your mind-based meditation, means your heartbeat, the area where the life force arises and passes away, you can silence your mind and stay there, anchor it there. Or those who are doing anapanasati, you can just stay at the breathing. You will reach a point where you will experience all of the very beautiful mind state born of proper relaxation and maintenance of awareness. Just like that Brother Chong told me yesterday, he said initially when he started doing the anapanasati, then the mind become very quiet, very peaceful, very tranquil. Then the mindfulness stabilized, and he experienced a lot of piti, sukhang, and bliss. To the extent that at the initial stage, he was so, the mind state was so nice, so beautiful, he cling on to it, he attached to it. But I told him it's okay, because initially, when you don't understand, you tend to have that, what they call, nice feeling. And like he described, the piti, the sukhang, especially the bliss, the peacefulness was really intense. But I said, remember to relax into it and let it stabilize. Let it become very quiet, very still. So that you can realize positive. The tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then use that mind to meditate. Okay? So this is something that you should bear in mind. Then develop a good religious routine. to stabilize your daily mindfulness. Then apart from that, your religious routine should include listening to Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. So the step two of Avijja Sutta, listening to the true Dhamma, you have to do it. That one you have to develop the religious routine to do it. Whenever you are free, listen to Dhamma or read up the Heart Sutta book or the Dhamma book and develop contemplative wisdom, understanding. Then continue your daily mindfulness. If you have a good religious routine, a daily religious routine, your mind will be very, very different. You will transform because you are consistently training your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, especially the first and second turning wisdom, followed by the third turning wisdom. All this will benefit you and it will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to progress much faster. That's the reason why the Buddha always emphasized on that word heedfulness. Strive on with heedfulness. And Dhammapada verse 21, remember them. The heedless are as if they, whereas heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So without heedfulness, you are as if they. So if throughout the day you cannot be in the state of awareness leading to heedfulness, you don't stand a chance to develop the spiritual understanding or awakening. So heedfulness is most important. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. If you don't have daily mindfulness, it cannot stabilize to develop samadhi and pasati, leading to heedfulness. You have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. After you have developed the stability to be ever mindful, then you can use it to listen to Dhamma, to contemplate on the Dhamma, to inquire, to reflect. Then at the same time, you can also use it to insight into phenomena. That is what meditation is all about. So when you do this, the three turning wisdom will arise. The initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, leading to the ultimate penetrative third turning wisdom, which is bhavana maya panya, they will arise. And then when they arise, your understanding will be there. And you don't have to remember, it's not a knowledge. The moment you understand, you awaken to through the silent mind, you will have the understanding connected to the form and mind. Then when you encounter a situation, you will know how to attend to it. You will know how to live it or deal with it because you are no longer deluded. You understand their universal characteristics, especially impermanent leading to the suffering state. And because it's impermanent, that's why it's non-self, not real. Empty nature existent, not what you think. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant by sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, and sabbe dhamma anatta. So all this will become very clear. Then this wisdom will prompt you and let you understand so that you are no longer deluded, deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Okay? So with that, maybe we will move on to our unique code. Turn to page 40 or 30. Sorry. Page 30, unique code 104. Okay. Right thought is very important. So what are right thought? They are all your virtuous thought. That includes the four Brahma Vihara state. So this four Brahma Vihara state, you know. Right? The first one is metta. Metta is loving kindness or universal love. So metta is a very beautiful mind state, a very virtuous mind state. So you have metta is one of the virtuous thought. It's definitely a right thought. So the Pali equivalent of loving kindness is metta. The second one is karuna. Karuna is translated as compassion. So these are also very beautiful mind state without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are just a virtuous mind state. That's why all these are right thought. When you have this metta, this karuna, or compassion, you have okay. Now is it okay? Can you all hear? Ah, okay. Maybe I will go through it again. Right thought is very important. What are right thought? They are all your righteous, virtuous thought that are without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And these four Brahmai Vihara, they are just four of the whole range of right thought. So right thought is not just confined to the four Brahma Vihara, but the four Brahma Vihara are beautiful mind states of Brahma. Brahma, and they develop their meditation, they have this four. They call it Vihara, means where they anchor their mind. So the four Brahma Vihara are Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeka. These are the Pali words. The English equivalent is metta is loving kindness, universal love. There is just love, no opposite. Then the second one, karuna, is compassion. When you are compassionate, when you have this mind state of compassion, you are virtuous. There is no evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why it's one of the beautiful mind state, virtuous thought. Similarly, mudita. Mudita is rejoicing. When we are able to rejoice in the wholesomeness of others, or wherever we observe wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, then it will help us to develop that wholesome mind of right thought, which is rejoicing. It will help us cut away the immediate threat of envy and jealousy. If you cannot have mudita to rejoice, chances is you will develop the immediate opposite of envy and jealousy. So mudita is very important. So Theravada people or Theravada practitioner, we tend to say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So our sadhu is rejoicing, rejoicing. Then for Mahayana, like I explained just now, they will use another format. They tend to recite Amitabha. They say Amitabha, Amitabha. Means they rejoice in your wholesomeness and affinity with the Triple Gem, or with Amitabha Buddha. So when you hear this word, you know they are rejoicing. And you should also rejoice back. Then the last one is equanimity of mind, upekkha. So this upekkha mind, there are two types. One is born of a conditioned mind in concentration or absorption. Then the mind become like in the state of stability, unwavering, and collected. So when you have upekkha, born of a conditioned state or energy field, or what they call one-pointedness jhana, or absorption, continuous absorption of mindfulness or whatever, then it become a different type of upekkha. This type of upekkha is a conditioned state upekkha. This is not the enlightenment factor. The last enlightenment factor, the seventh enlightenment factor of upekkha, is the stability of mind that is born of wisdom. Whereas this mind is a free mind, naturally collected and unwavering because of wisdom. You must have that type of upekkha to really live life, so that you don't have to worry about your mind state when you get old, when you cannot maintain your concentration, your absorption, meditation, when your energy has weakened down. So a lot of people who go into jhana, energy field, or absorption meditation, or one-pointedness, thought-based meditation, they will experience problem as they age, as they develop weakness in their ability to maintain that conditioned state of mind or that state of jhana and concentration. So this is just for people who may not understand, to develop the understanding. Then apart from all these four Brahma Vihara mind state, we can also develop right thought through understanding. Whatever thought that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they constitute right thought. So what are they? Like when you are very sincere, sincerity of mind state is a right thought. When you have gratitude towards others who has helped you before, taught you very well, care for you, sacrifice for you, do a lot of good things for you, especially your parents, your teachers, and people who has benefited you. That is right thought. The gratitude towards them, the respect for them. So these are all right thought and wholesome thought. Then the thought of like filial piety, to repay your parents. These are right thought. These are thought that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then there are many things that you can develop as right thought, like your wholesome intention to help people, to be kind to people, to be generous, to have this, what they call, pleasant demeanor, or to be a blessing to all. So all these are right thought. So you can develop them. You can develop them. So what we have gone through is very useful. Like your faith, your sincerity, all these are right thought. Then there are many other virtuous things, like thought of renunciation, thought of generosity, kindness, goodness, pleasantness, gentleness. So there are many other virtuous thoughts which you can develop as right thought. When you are very, very truthful, sincere, honest, generous, these are all right thoughts. Then there is also this what they call Dhamma that you have to learn. The Buddha taught on the Noble Eightfold Path, right view. When you have right view, it will condition right thought. It will lead to right thought, right action, and right speech, and right livelihood. So the main thing is right view. And what is right view? Right view are right view with regards to the three spiritual law of nature. Karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So when you have right view, you will have wisdom. You will have right understanding. Then it will condition right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So develop wisdom. That is the most important. Then everything you do will be in accordance with the Dhamma way, which is the righteous way. Then it will be all in accordance with the Dhamma. That's the reason why Jai Krishnamurti say, don't try to be good. The absence of evil is automatically good. If you are incapable of doing evil, it's automatically good. Or virtuous thought, right action, right speech, and right livelihood. In the Buddha's way is his advice. The uniqueness of his advice, Dhammapada verse 183, is the first section of the advice. Sabba papasa akaranam. All evil has to be avoided. So you look at the similarity between what he say and Jai Krishnamurti quote. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. Akarana. All evil is to be avoided. If you can avoid all evil, you are automatically virtuous. Yeah, you are incapable of evil. So exactly like what Jai Krishnamurti said, the absence of evil is goodness, wholesomeness. So you must train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, and understand what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So in that aspect, the Buddha's teaching is more deep, more clear, more comprehensive. In the sense that he teaches you to recognize what constitutes evil. If the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil, they are the root of all evil. If your mind state has this, then it will condition you into evil action, evil speech, and evil thought process. Means you don't have wisdom, you don't have right view, you don't have right understanding. That's how they fall. So this will help us. That's why the Dhamma is very clear. Whereas if you follow Jai Krishnamurti code without the Dhamma, you cannot understand what he say. The absence of evil is good. But what is evil, he never tell you. To be violent, to be greedy, to be selfish, to be possessive, lustful. These are all evil roots. To be aggressive, have a lot of emotion, anger, hatred, envy and jealousy. All these are evil mind states. Then under delusion is fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All these are wrong thought. So we need to understand the opposite of right thought. In fact, right thought is for you to arise the right effort, the third right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. So you generate them so that you know how to develop them. But for cultivation, what my nature realizes, it's more important for you to recognize what is wrong thought, what constitutes wrong thought. That one is the most important. So you listen. I will repeat this. It's also in the unique code, but I will repeat it here so that you understand. Whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, means the evil roots are there. You are being deluded. You have wrong thought. Then whenever you can be aware and mindful, that the thought that arise condition fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, restlessness of mind, the mental hindrance, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. These are all wrong thoughts. So it's very easy to recognize wrong thought. It is those thoughts, the plural aspect. They are thought, better don't use the word it is. They are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your misery, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your fear, worry, and so on. So all this that has the evil roots, they are all wrong thought. So it's very easy. Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. It means what you are holding on are all the wrong thought. So take for example, if you happen to have friends or colleague who has depression, who has a lot of problem, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, these are all wrong thoughts. And you can use this to help them. Because these are the thoughts that will condition your misery, your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and lamentation. So you should actually arise the right effort to abandon them. And later on, develop the wisdom to prevent them from arising. And then your life will change. Because according to Dhammapada verse 1, if you do not train your mind, if you are heedless, you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which means you have a lot of wrong thought that condition your wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong life. That's the reason why under Dhammapada verse 1, it said, if you have that type of mind, heedless mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, it will condition your suffering and misery. This suffering will arise like the wheel that follow, the hoof that follow the wheel of the car. So all this will be clear to you. Then our life, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or to be miserable is entirely our choice. Then we should develop the wisdom to choose wisely. If you want to avoid suffering, we have to train our mind to be hidden so that we can act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a virtuous mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That happiness will follow us, like the shadow that never leaves us. And that is Dhammapada verse 2. So to live life is very simple. Avoid Dhammapada verse 1, avoid being heedless, then develop the right effort, the training to be heedful, and follow Dhammapada verse 2. That's how you change your life. That's how you transform yourself. Your life destiny will change. Your own personality and character will change. Your wisdom, your understanding will change. Because when you avoid Dhammapada verse 1, you develop wholesomeness. You develop a lot of beautiful mind state. And these are virtuous thought, virtuous action and speech. And the way you live your life is accordance with the Dhamma. And because of that, you develop the merits. You follow the advice of the Buddha. You avoid all evil. You do a lot of goodness and wholesomeness. Then finally, you only need to use that mind state that you have trained to be heedful, to be aware, to meditate. That's how wisdom come to be. Then you are home. You don't have to worry about anything else. So to understand Dhamma is not difficult. But to put it to practice, to cultivate it, to realize it, to live it, you need to put in the diligent part, the hard work. And also you must have faith, spiritual faculty, sadha leading to virya, then drive you to cultivate sati leading to samadhi. And then wisdom will keep on arising. When you understand all this, you will know how to cultivate. Developing spiritual faculty is to develop the heedfulness. It's the same. Without the spiritual faculty, there is no heedfulness. Well, without spiritual faculty, there is no sati, mindfulness. That's why sadha virya will lead you to train your mind diligently, sincerely with faith to arise sati. Then when sati is there, mindfulness is there, you stabilize it to become ever mindful. Then when it's ever mindful, you can use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you automatically become heedful. And you are home. The heedful never down. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Always remember this. Just focus on training your mind to be heedful. Then develop the cultivation in accordance with the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. So all this will be very clear. Okay, we move on to the next verse. Oh, verse 104, I haven't finished the second part. I read again. Right thought is very important. They are all your virtuous thought that includes the four Brahma Vihara, mind states of Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeka, and the accompany ennoblers of precepts. So the ennoblers of precept, as we all know, is the first category of right thought. Take for example, the ennobler of anger is love. When you are no longer having envy, jealousy, and other things, means you have love. Then the ennobler of stealing or taking things that don't belong to you is generosity. So when you have generosity, when you have loving kindness, you have virtuous thought, you have right thought. Then the ennobler of lust is contentment. Then the ennobler of telling lie, deceiving people is sincerity, thoughtfulness. Then the ennobler of partaking intoxicant, the fifth precept, is actually heedfulness. You are no longer heedless. Where the fifth precept is born of heedlessness. So to reverse it, you need to ennoble it to develop what they call heedfulness. Then the first precept is violent, to kill, to cause harm. So the ennobler of it is the opposite of violent, means harmlessness. Compassion. Of course, you can have loving kindness too. But it's mainly compassionate, harmlessness of mind. You have this, what they call compassion and love towards fellow beings. That's why you cannot harm them. You cannot kill them. You cannot deceive yourself. You will be full of love, full of compassion and sincerity. And when you have love and compassion, you will be very kind, very gentle in your approach. And you will be very sincere. It's like all these virtuous thoughts, they will arise on their own. So this will cover unique code 104. Then we move on to unique code 105. To have the ultimate realization to transcend life, one has to transcend even the present moment, leading to the cessation of form and mind, means realization of Nibbana, which is the unconditioned. The present moment may be the highest in life, but it is still within life or within the conditioned world, samsara. So in order to transcend life, you have to transcend even the present moment. So that is the meaning. To transcend the present moment means you transcend the mundane mind. You realize the cessation of form and mind, which is beyond thought, beyond time, beyond psychological time, is no more thinking. You realize the unconditioned, the mind sees. Okay. Unique code 106. And this is very useful advice, huh? You listener. Just do, don't try to know. This is what Brother Chong came to know also. He said, your advice is so beautiful in the meditation. Just silent, aware. Don't try to know. Then just act with understanding. Don't try to know. Then everything falls into place now. He also came to realize sati is very important and wisdom is very important. That's why he learned a lot of wise words from my sharing. Yeah. It's just like how I learned some of them from my teacher, Achayantra. We choose to accept everything as natural. Means to accept the reality of the moment, like the Buddha said. If condition is like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. Yeah. Then he liked the verse that I used. He said, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. From there, he understand. So you can accept the world for what they are and people for what they are. You are most of the time at peace. Then the other thing that I learned from my teacher is not so real, not what you think. Only mighty nature rolling by. The nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. We are everything follow the Panchaniyama, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So when you understand this, then you can accept whatever happened. Because only mighty nature rolling by, not what you think, not so real. That's why the wisdom that arises is we choose accept everything as natural. You can accept them as natural occurrences following nature's law, means you have wisdom. That's why acceptance is wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot accept. You will suppress, you will stir your mind, you will react, and you will do a lot of funny things because you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So the causes and conditions already said, things will be that way. It will go that way. That's what the Buddha meant. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. Because you created the causes and conditions, or the world created the causes and conditions, then it will unfold. It will continue to unfold. You want to change your life. You want to change what happened, the event that you have affinity with or condition with, then you have to introduce the right appropriate condition via your Dhamma understanding. Like when you understand that this is due to nature's law, especially the law of karma. So when you know what happened to you, your misery, your suffering, your whatever situation in life, like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So we can't blame anybody. We are the, we hold the destiny to our own life. We created our condition. So when we understand this, we accept. Means what? We are at peace. We don't blame people anymore. We don't get angry with what happened anymore. Because this is the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. Whatever that you did to people, come back to you. That's why you become the victim. And when you understand that, you can accept that right view, you are at peace. That's why you don't suffer anymore. Then you have clarity of mind. Then you can act with understanding. Then you ask yourself, what happened? If it's due to karma, then I have to accept. After I accept, I have peace, I have clarity of mind, then I ask myself, what can I do to move on or to resolve all this amicably so that no one gets hurt? so that everybody gain. Yeah. So like what the civil society used to explain, win-win situation. A solution that brings about win-win situation need wisdom. Without wisdom, it can't happen. You cannot have the ability to make it happen. So this wisdom aspect is very, very important. So once we have this ability, means we have Dhamma, we have understanding, then we will know how to act. So how do we act if we know it's karma? Do what you have to do. If you need to ask for forgiveness, repentance, you do. That is the first action you must do so that you can resolve all this karmic repercussion or karmic obstruction amicably, or resolve it so that it will not continue. Yeah. Then the other thing that you should do immediately is, after you have asked for forgiveness or repentance, means you know what you have done last time is wrong, then you determine sincerely not to repeat all this wrong thing again, means to break all the karmic thing, the precepts and all those things, means no more negativity. So when you vow not to repeat all this, you will have to follow the advice of the Buddha to transform. That's why Dhammapada 183 will come in. Then you keep your precept to avoid all evil. You train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to see the evil root, then abandon it, prevent them from arising. That's how you do it. Then third right effort is to develop the right thought, right speech, right action, like what I have gone through with you. Yeah? To arise the virtuous thought, the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood that are still not in you. That part you must cultivate. Then after that, the final right effort is easy. To refine upon and perfect all those right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have developed. And that one is relatively much easy, but it takes time. So the third right effort is not so easy. I remember in the early days, I cultivated them. I developed the understanding of what constitutes right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then I developed the right effort to purposely cultivate them. I learned to speak sincerely, virtuously. Then I learned to be gentle, pleasant, and kind in my approach and communication with society, with living beings, with fellow colleagues, family members, and all those things. Then I developed joy, sympathetic joy, mudita. Then I develop all the virtuous thought, like generosity, sincerity, gratitude, respect. Yeah. When you cultivate properly, following the right way, the virtue will arise in you automatic. You will have gratitude inside you automatic. Yeah. Then the respect, then the understanding of what virtue is, they must be accompanied by wisdom. Otherwise, there is no real virtue. Even Brother Chong, he shared the same thing. He said, Brother Teo, yeah, what you say is very true. That compassion, that gratitude, that love, they arise naturally. That's why he wants to come and pay respect out of gratitude straight away. And all this is automatic. If you have cultivated it correctly, it will arise on its own through understanding, through wisdom. The mind state will be all wholesome on its own, free of any evil roots or negativity of mind states. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have developed it correctly, appropriately, all this can happen. Yeah. That's why that day Jin Hao also came. Then when he heard the sharing from Brother Chong and the way I actually advised him. He was full of joy until at one stage, I think his tears came out. Then Brother Chong also mentioned, he said, when there is this gratitude and compassion, understanding arising in him, there is a lot of tears flowing down. But these are not tears of sadness. These are tears of joy, tears of gratitude. That's the reason why I told Jinhao, I said, so far, he is one of the very rare ones that can really understand my teaching without meeting me. And yet, everything he manifests was exactly like what I have shared with you all. So I told Jinhao, if you have cultivated it correctly, all the things I say, you will experience. You will go through. That's like Jinhao was full of this type of joy inside there. And it moved him to tears. You can go and ask him. So all these are very beautiful. So if the cultivation is in accordance with the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, you will reap the appropriate result. And all these results will be the same, even though they can use different words to describe it in their own way. But the final outcome, the final result is the same, similar. That's why the wise one, they will understand what this thing is. Like the Buddha said, this Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No need to ask anybody. Then they will have the gratitude and the respect, and they will just want to come and pay respect and thank you for what you have shared with them. And these are the beautiful understanding that can unfold. So one day, maybe when MCO is over, Brother Chong say he will try to attend some of the classes, and you all can meet up with him. Then you can listen direct from him. He's sharing now. He is also very humble. He told me, he said, Brother Teo, I don't have much education, he said. I don't know what he meant. Maybe he didn't really did his degree or his master or PhD, I don't know. So I said, no need to have education, because Hui Ning also an educator. So Hui Ning is also not educated. What is the English word? Illiterate. He's also an illiterate. So nothing to worry. Then he said, I'm a man of few words. I don't know how to say good things, he said. I don't know how to praise people. But he said, this one is sincerely from my heart. I want to express my gratitude and respect, and I want to pay respect to you. Then he said many things using his limited way, which is very beautiful. You can ask Jinhao also. So that part, hopefully, it can give faith to other Kayanamitas and cultivator. Okay, then we continue. So we finish 105, now 106. 106 we started, but we didn't complete. So just do. Don't try to know. Then the most important advice is accord and flow with condition and situation. Have no desire and craving to progress or to teach people or to help people. This one I have to add in. Because if you have the Dhamma, you will know. Without condition, nothing happens. Don't be too eager to teach or share or help. No. That will actually trap you. It will become a defilement of insight. Because when you fail to understand the nature's law completely or beautifully, you will not understand this accord and flow. Accord and flow means accord and flow with whatever condition that arise. Condition and situation. If there's no condition to share, never mind. Let things be. If there is no condition for you to arise and help, let things be. Don't do anything. Then whatever that unfold, you just echo and flow. Then you will always be at peace. Otherwise, you will have problems. okay, then have no desire and craving to progress or to help or whatever. Just cultivate sincerely. The key word is sincerity and with faith. Then persevere. So you have these three wholesome mind state, you will develop wisdom, you will progress. So faith, sincerity, and perseverance. These are the three very important mind state that can develop the understanding and bring about transformation and progress in you. And verse 107, always remember this. Whatever that is rigid is not the true Dhamma. Because the real Dhamma is non-rigid. Non-rigid, the meaning is very deep. Non-rigid doesn't mean you can be crooked. You can like say double talk and say no. Non-rigid means you echo and flow. If you cannot echo and flow, you become rigid means what? You base on knowledge, that's why it becomes rigid. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is an understanding. Condition different, the understanding is different. But knowledge leads to argument. Knowledge is about right and wrong. That is what knowledge is all about. It's not about wisdom. When you have too much knowledge, knowledge bind. That's why so zi zang. Whatever you know become an obstruction to your understanding. The Pure Land teaching is very beautiful. He has this few very important Dhamma. Fan Nao Zhang, So Zi Zhang. So when you have too much knowledge, it becomes a hindrance. That is what So Zi Zhang, whatever you know, become a hindrance. Because the wisdom is not a knowledge. That Fan Nao Zhang, whenever you worry, have anxiety, restlessness, it is a karmic obstruction. It's a mental hindrance. That's why it will obstruct you. It will block you. So the first time I heard about this Pure Land teaching, it straightaway struck my heart. Like deep inside, I knew it was so beautiful. It described suffering in such clear manner. And it is very, very encompassing. In fact, most people have these two. And these two are the major component of all your suffering. So zi zang, fan nao zang. People who worry a lot have a lot of suffering in it. That's why I say whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. That's how you suffer. You become miserable. Because the evil root is the root of all evil, make you evil. That's how suffering comes to be. So this aspect of Dhamma is very useful. So never, never be rigid. But don't try to act without rigidity. That is not the Dhamma. The Dhamma that you have learned or cultivated, when you have them, you check. After you have the Dhamma, you no longer rigid in your approach to things. You no longer insist it must be this way. This is right, this is wrong. You will never hold that view. Yeah, it depends on the circumstances and the condition. That's why you need to echo and flow. And you need to have the wisdom to be flexible. Flexible doesn't mean you can twist and turn. No. Flexible means you act and flow, accord and flow with understanding, with wisdom. Because you understand, just like the Mandarin saying, Kai lai, jiu hui lai. Whatever that will happen, that will arise. Whatever that doesn't belong to you, bu kai lai, jiu pu hui lai. So, meant to be will be. If it's not meant to be, it will not be. Means you must understand. If your karmic is like that, the condition is like that, things will be like that. If it's not yours, means not yours. But you have the parami. If it's yours, no matter what happened, it will still be yours. Yeah. Like I have one Kayanamita, she jokingly used to tell me that she also like share investment. He say, you got generosity parami, you got the virtue, you buy the wrong stock, also go up. But you don't have the karma, you buy the best stock also come down. A lot of people say, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett share, very good, isn't it? Earlier on, it keep on moving out until per share, no, not 1,000 share. Per share is worth 360 over 1,000 US dollar. Do you know what is the price now? Even if you own one share, you have lost 110,000 US because it has dropped to 250,000. 250 over 1,000 US now. So if you don't have the parami, you buy the best stock, best performing stock, it will also come down. But if you have the parami, like that colleague said, you buy the wrong stock also it go on. Whatever that is meant to be, you will be. So accord and flow, don't be rigid. Accept the reality of the nature's law. You cannot go against nature's law. You have to accord and flow. You have to introduce the appropriate condition. Without Dhamma, you cannot do it. Without Dhamma, you will violate nature's law and you will create a lot of negativity or karma that will condition your suffering and your misery. This is what life is all about. Take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. So very simple. And how to take care of karma? Train your mind to be heedful. Understand what constitutes evil. Then learn to meditate. The five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. Especially the third and fourth way. The meditative way. So you need to train your mind and develop all this ability. And then your cultivation will be beautiful. Okay, we move on. Verse 108. True Dhamma stand up to investigation. Now, this one is easy to understand. And it is not rigid. I repeat here again. Because it is an understanding which accords and flow with condition. So this one complement verse 107. So this one is easy to understand. Because I have explained them. So verse, unique quote. 109. Only virtue born of cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path protects oneself. Because Noble Eightfold Path is all about right view, right thought, right speech, right action. Everything is right. No more wrong thing. So if you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you are following the advice of the Buddha. You are avoiding all evil. You are doing wholesomeness, goodness. You are purifying your mind to develop wisdom. That's why only virtue born of cultivating Noble Eightfold Path protects you. There is no other thing that can protect you. Even the monks at that time, they asked the Buddha, Sakyamuni, what is the highest protection? And his answer is very simple, virtue. Virtue protects, nothing else. Then there is another question. What is the highest wealth? If you are non-Buddhist, you will be very surprised at the Buddha's answer. What is the highest wealth? He said contentment. Your contentment. If you have contentment, you are contented in life, you are very wealthy. And the way he explained it is very true. He said, you can be a very wealthy person, but you are not contented with what you have. You still have craving, desire to have more, which means you are not rich. You are not contented as yet. But if you are contented, even as a simple person, a farmer or whatever, you already very wealthy because you don't need more. You already contented with what you have, with life and everything. And contentment really can make you happy. really, really happy. Just like contentment is the highest wealth, and virtue is your highest protection. So with Dhamma understanding, you transform, you become different. Then all your merits born of your virtuous thought, speech, action, and livelihood protects you. That's why you must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Otherwise, you will have a lot of problem. And Noble Eightfold Path, as explained by the Buddha under his fourth Noble Truth, will lead to the end of all suffering. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Means you will become enlightened. You will be free from all suffering. So his teaching is very beautiful. And you look at Noble Eightfold Path, they are all the noble path factors that an enlightened being must have. That's why the enlightened beings at the time of the Buddha, they are called Aryas or noble ones. The meaning is very apt, very appropriate. Noble one means they are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why they are called noble ones. They are very noble in their way. They understand life. That's why they have right view, right understanding, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Means they are very noble in the way they communicate with people, in the manner they interact with people, and in the way they live life. They are full of wisdom, virtuous thought, kind thought, and their actions are always in accordance with the Dhamma. Their speech are all very appropriate, right speeches. There is no more wrong speeches. So the four types of wrong speeches, we might as well cover it now. The book always tells us to avoid these four types of wrong speeches. The first one is harsh speech. Do not speak harshly or with strong words that hurt people. That actually brings about more conflict, more argument, more misunderstanding. That's why try not to speak harshly. Then second wrong speech is not to lie, not to deceive, not to cheat. Then the other one is not to backbite, not to say things behind people's back, not to propagate instigate misunderstanding and all those things. Means your intention is very negative. The word is instigate. Backbiting, these two. They say double-headed snake and no tau chua. This snake got two head on. One side talk one aspect, the other side talk another aspect. So it will instigate these two to have misunderstanding and all those things. Then the last one is frivolous talk. Means sweet nothing or not useful type of talk. So avoid all these four type of speeches. But you also at the same time have to develop the understanding of what constitutes right speech. So I finally came up with this understanding. When I was in Japan, I contemplated, I reflect a lot on this. In fact, my trip to Japan, I actually reflected and contemplated and come up with a lot of right thought, right speech, right action. Based on right understanding, all this unfold. And when I came back, I actually write them down. Then I developed them. I developed them. Because the condition there was so appropriate. I was helping a friend to find out about one type of Japanese Buddhism. They call it the happy science or Ogawa. The master is called Master Ogawa. Then they also help people in their own way. They use Noble Eightfold Path. Then this friend of mine actually asked me to accompany him there to explain to him whether this type of Buddhism is harmful or not. But finally, I came to know what they teach is quite similar to the Buddha's teaching, except there is one part, Noble Eightfold Path. All the rest is the same except right mindfulness. That one, they change it. They substitute with some Christian teaching. So it was a beautiful trip because they also know how to apply the other seven power factor, and they use it to solve people's problem, people's depression and all those things. That's why I find it quite interesting. Then when I heard what they did, then I reflected, then I came up with my own understanding so that it can also help people, especially people who have depression, who are in the chronic state of having a lot of this karmic thing to condition the wrong thought that condition the suffering and misery. So what are right speech? So right speech are all the gentle, pleasant, and appropriate speeches that brings about harmony, right understanding, love, compassion, joy. These are all right thoughts. So always remember, right speech. Your speech must be pleasant, kind, and gentle, and appropriate for the occasion. That leads to harmony, love, respect, gratitude. Then also, whatever that is conducive for the situation at the time, so that they can feel better, so that they will feel like relief, so that they will not have misery and sorrow. So when you speak to people appropriately with the right speech, if your speech are always that type, which is gentle, pleasant, kind, appropriate, and brings about understanding, harmony, wholesomeness, people will feel good. People will benefit from you. Especially when you are in the service industry, when you attend to people, when you answer phone calls, sometimes emergency line, you need to have kind and gentle speeches, appropriate speeches that can calm people down, bring down their fear, the anxiety. So all these are skillful ways to develop the appropriate right speech. Then, of course, right action also you have to contemplate. What are wrong action? Action that violates the precept and the standard. Action that lead to killing, harming, cheating, deceiving. Then like lust and all those things. That's why people who can go to the extent of robbing people, killing people, cheating people, raping people, these are all wrong action. Body, speech, and action. These are all inappropriate against the Dhamma. So when you start to develop all this understanding, then you have to do the opposite. Non-violent. Whatever action that are skillful, that are non-violent, that does not lead to killing, stealing, harming, or causing misery and suffering to fellow living beings, these are all right action. So it's very easy to have right action in them. All of your generosity, sincerity, kind thought, sincere thought, your respect, your act of fellow piety, benevolence, your gratitude towards people. These are all right action. Then when you act in a very compassionate way to be a blessing to all, to help the poor, to help the suffering, to help the misery, these are all right action. Then when you can arise the causes and conditions for the consciousness to improve, these are all right action. So there are many ways to arise right thought, right speech, and right action. That's how you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You need to reflect, contemplate, then write it down. Because when you are new, you cannot recall. Then later on, as you progress, always remember. Your memory will not be like before. Well, before, you tend to have a very good memory where you want to accumulate knowledge. But when you cultivate appropriately and when you transform, especially later on when your mundane mind start to collapse and when your wisdom start to arise, you will come to understand that your mind has become non-grasping. The aggregates of mind are all non-grasping. It cannot grasp anymore. It cannot cling. It cannot want to remember also. Then the time is like you don't really need to depend on memory. Your wisdom will be with you. You have things you would have. You don't have to remember that. It will arrive. Then your normal memory is for you to maintain certain type of mechanical memory, not psychological memory anymore. Then you will use your brain in a very efficient way. The brain will have order. When there is no more psychological memory, the brain has no suffering, no misery at all. It's only the psychological memory that brings about fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then all the insecurity, scars of memory, all these are psychological memory. So when you don't have psychological memory because your mind state has transformed, your consciousness has transformed, it's now non-grasping. That's why the Arahant and beyond, their aggregates of mind, the Upadana Khanda, is no more. It's non-grasping, pure aggregate. That's why they are Panchaskandas. It's not grasping aggregate. The Upadana is no more. These are beautiful form and mind. They are now pure aggregates without the delusion, without the ignorance. That's why it's non-grasping. That's the reason why sometimes when I share, I cannot remember what I share. But what I share is from the nature. It just come out straight from the heart. Where condition is there, then it arises. But when condition ceases to be, I cannot remember. That's why it cannot hold on to things. And I don't have problem at all. Where for me, it's not important. All those are psychological memory. But certain type of mechanical memory or factual memory that you need to use in life, you have to have them, understand? Otherwise, you become demented. You become a big problem again. You can't even remember your name, your wife's name, your children's name, or how to sign your checkbook and all those things. Then, who are you? What are you? Your entity and all the society's thing. So, your house address. You don't know how to go home also. So, all these are mechanical memory which are useful. Then, like your mathematical formula, your scientific understanding for technological use. You need memory. These are non-psychological memory. These are mechanical memory which are useful in life. That's why you have to identify not all memory is bad. It's only when you don't have wisdom, you will accumulate psychological memory that it will condition all the wrong thought, the evil roots. That's how people develop depression. They think and think and think and accumulate all those wrong thoughts that condition their suffering and misery. It becomes like a cocoon of thought, keep on repeating like a tape recorder inside there. That's why they have depression. They have psychological problems. They need to see psychiatrists. They need to take medication and all those things. So all these are the beautiful understanding from the Buddha Dhamma. Just Noble Eightfold Path alone can be so beautiful. Okay, we continue. Now, verse 110, unique code number 110. This is very good. This is what you need to understand. This fear thing is very, very powerful. Fear is the biggest rest, the biggest mind state, negativity of mind state that is responsible for all your suffering. So I will read to you, then you will understand. It is the thought that fear. Your nature never fear. It is your thought that fear. Sankara movement is a projection of thought, born of self-delusion. So when you have wrong thought, wrong view, it will project your thought. Then it develops fear. Fear of the future, which is something hasn't happened yet. That's why future has yet to come, not a reality. Then why did fear arise? Because your thought project and tell you what happened if people come to know. What happened if the police come to know? What happened if management come to know what you have done or the wrong thing? Or what happened if the deadline approach and I still cannot deliver? Then all of this are fear triggered off by thought projection. Then through recalling memory, your accumulated scars of memory, insecurity, all of your accumulated negativity of mind state, these are the ones that create suffering. So I read to you again. It is the thought that fear, not your nature, where you lack wisdom. If your nature has developed the awakening and the wisdom, then you will never fear. But because you don't have wisdom, the egoic mind, which is the thought, they will have this ignorant self-delusion that condition your fear because it will project the thought. So Sankara movement is a projection of thought born of self-delusion. And it is this deluded thought that condition your fear. If you are just aware without wrong thought, fear will cease. Aware means what? Be with it. Be with the fear. The fear versus where you are no more thinking. You are no more introducing wrong thought to it. That's how it sees. That is the third way that the Buddha teach you how to meditate. That's why the third way is just silence your mind, maintain awareness. Then all of your mind state that arise, they will cease. Like your anger, your hatred, your anxiety, your fear, your worry. All this they will cease. And when you experience them ceasing, you will have a lot of joy because the wisdom will arise. Then you come to realize this is beautiful. These are all dependent originating mind state, not intrinsic within my true nature, within my true mind. They arise because of wrong thought, ignorance, that condition the emotion to arise. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, especially the anger, the hatred. So when they arise, you think it belongs to you. That's why a lot of cultivators got it wrong. They always say, I still have fear. I still have anger. So they thought they have cultivated wrongly, inappropriately, because they know these are evil root. They think, if you are enlightened, all this evil root will not arise, which is correct. But why did they arise? Because you deludedly think that it belongs to you. That's why you cannot free your mind. But if you have silenced your mind, developed the mindfulness and the awareness, and saw it ceasing without doing anything, then you realize without wrong thought, you are peaceful. Your original state before the stirring and the reaction of mind is already that silent mind, your true mind, which is serene, peaceful, calm, and just aware. Then you will know how to meditate. You will know how to free your mind. You will know how to develop the wisdom to liberate. Then you will have got no more power over you. Every time it stir or arise, you know it is due to the wrong view, your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, and all that.
Then once you have rooted out this wrong view, it will not stir, it will not react anymore. But sometimes it has developed into habitual tendency. That's why it will still come for a while. But straight away, your wisdom will take over from you and tell you that these are not real, doesn't belong to you. Anger is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. But you have seen it in the meditation. You have developed the mindfulness and be with it, and it sits. Then you will come to know anger was never me. Fear was never me. Then who fear? What fear? Nothing fear. It is the thought that fear. Understand this. Wake up to this. And you will have no more delusion. Then you will be very brave. You can confront everything. But that nature never dies. It's the eternal nature. It's not the form and mind. All this understanding will be there. Okay. If you are just aware without the wrong thought, fear will cease. So this is the third and the fourth way to meditate. In fact, it's the third way. The fourth way is to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it through wisdom. That one, I think, is automatic. Once you know the third way, you will know how to trace the origination factor. There is always through one of your senses. Because before you see something or hear something or recall something, you have no fear, no anger, nothing. Your mind state is very peaceful. But through your senses, you start to stir your mind. That's how you come to know. It arises through your sense door activity. So under Dhammanupassana, the Buddha advised the cultivator to cultivate mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. The third category of practices. Now that's how you develop the wisdom, to trace the origination factor. Then if you do that, you will start to understand the causes and conditions behind the arising. Means you can trace the arising of anger, the arising of fear. Before you have, they were not there. Then how did they arise? Every time because you see something you don't like, then or you recall through memory. Or you hear somebody saying bad things about you, then your egoic mind react to it. So you know these are the origination factors due to wrong view. So when you straighten your view, he know you, he know me, sankara anicang, sankara dukang, then in the meditation you have seen it, dependent originating condition arising. That's why it's empty, non-self, not you, doesn't belong to you. Then you have no problem, isn't it? Your anger was never me. Why must I do away with anger? With wisdom, it cannot arise. Fear was never me. With wisdom, it can never arise. The mind will not stir. Yeah? Without wrong view, it is incapable of wrong thing. So, right view, wisdom, is the most powerful. Nothing free your mind except wisdom. Always remember. And wisdom means you have seen it in the meditation, awakened to it, then you straighten your view, no more wrong view. That's how you become enlightened and liberate. That's how your mind, after that, can be peaceful, cease, and you can realize Nibbana. Okay? So I will go on. The next one is also very beautiful. This one comes from my teacher, Ajahn Yantrao. Unique quote, 111, 111. After this, we can end. Right duty is right Dhamma. So this one, when you chant the salutation to the Sangha, is also there. Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Of right duty is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. That's why right duty with regards to this law of karma is very important. So when you have right duty, means you have the right Dhamma. We have a duty towards the law of nature, especially the law of karma. We should perform our duty with right understanding, wholesomeness, and mindfulness. In this way, we can be ever mindful and constantly meditating, leading to heedfulness. Okay, we stop here. Huh? So this right duty is related to our five aggregate of form and mind. According to the Buddha, this five aggregate of form and mind or the human being may not be the real entity that we can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, because they are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. That's why it's impermanent. If you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity, it is non-self, empty, not you. Empty and non-self doesn't mean no self, doesn't mean nothingness. It means non-self, means there is such thing as a human being, but it's not you. It's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's called non-self. Then, because it is not a permanent and changing entity, everything that happens, they arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Towards the end, it's only memory. No reality. That's an empty. Empty nature existence. 往事只能回味. You can only recall to mind whatever that happened. Everything is just memory. You can only recall the past because it's already dead and gone, no more reality. So this aspect is very useful, very important. Then, because there is this law of karma, the Buddha said, even though the form and mind, the human being, is not you, but is connected to your karmic nature, it is your vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, to allow you to live life, to experience life, to go through time, to experience karma, to cultivate, and to fulfill your vow and do whatever that you can do with this so-called segmented life of yours, your vehicle and your tool. So, not you, but related to you, to karma. And this form of mind is subject to karma. That's why you have to take care of karma. You cannot simply do things. Well, this form of mind or your segmented life, this life, like my segmented life, this life you call brother Teo. This form of mind has a duty. Otherwise, it violates the law of karma. Its karmic nature will be affected even more. Then in future, when it comes, this form of mind will get into trouble. So when you have the Dhamma wisdom and the understanding, you will know how to do your duty. You will know how to take care of karma. And that is what the Buddha meant of right duty is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. That's why we chant them under the salutation to the Dhamma. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Then he continued. After that, the final one is Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. That one is right duty. The other three is of right conduct, of dutiful conduct. Upright conduct, right conduct, upright conduct, then wise conduct. Then the last one only, dutiful conduct. You develop your duty. So the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they are very wholesome in the way they arise themselves. Means they have right conduct. They conduct themselves very well in a very noble way. Then they are very righteous in the way they do things. They don't simply compromise their sincerity, their integrity, or their way of doing things. Then the third one is they are very wise. They have right view, right understanding. That's why they have wise conduct. Then because they understand the law of karma, they have dutiful conduct. They do their duty very well. Okay? So with this we end. Then we can have our Q&A. Okay. Well, I have a drink. So now we will open up. Then you can come in and ask whatever question. And you can also report your meditation if you have any. Yeah? Mm. Anybody? You can either wave your hand or on your speakerphone. Then you can just come in. Ah, Jin Hao is there. Yeah. Maybe you can get Jin Hao to share.
Yeah, brother, I'd like to share something about what I experienced yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. You should share. Yeah, Sadhu.
Yes. It was really a very, what do you say, a special meeting, you see, yesterday. Before Brother Chong and I came to your place, we were on the way.
Yeah.
One of the traffic light. Yeah. And then he started to talk to me. He said, a person who has a sati or don't have sati will be a big difference when you wash.
Yes, when big wash difference. You. Yes.
Then I was suddenly struck because I think sati is very important from Rasa and from you.
Yeah.
I think for more than 1,000 times, is it?
Yeah.
But this is some but this this conversation is from somebody new,
Completely.
Yeah, from the something like a stranger to me.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it really struck me, you see.
Yeah.
Then I was reflected and say, reason why that progress over here is because I have my study is not strong and it's not stable.
Yeah.
So I say, and then that struck me to say, I have to really, put on
work on your daily mindfulness.
Yes.
And stabilize your sati while in the form of meditation. That's how the bowing and all those things and the walking. You must continue to do until it's part of you, the daily mindfulness. Like what Jayanta is doing. Develop the sati until it's very stable. Not until the sati is stable, your real meditation haven't started, especially daily mindfulness. And all those who cultivate before, who have the right understanding, they will know. That's why this Brother Chong, straight away, he can tell you. It's a big difference whether you have sati or you don't have sati. Because he told me, remember, in my house, if you don't have sati, you cannot understand what I share. My teaching. That's why with sati and without sati, big difference. Because without sati, you don't know what sati is. You don't know what that true mind is. For sati is life. Sati is what the true mind is all about. It's awareness before the knowing. That's why sati is one of the most important noble eightfold path factor. Without sati, there is no cultivation, no investigation of Dhamma. There is no noble eightfold path. There is no precept to keep also. You are not capable of being aware of the evil roots and all those things. So sati is very important. The four foundations of mindfulness need mindfulness, need sati. So everything that involves cultivation needs sati. That's why he straight away zero in on his own without meeting me through hearing my sharing. He knew sati is so important and he did it. That's why when he, from his past, he realized what that sati is, he can understand a lot of things that I share very fast. Very good. Continue. Huh?
Yeah. And then he told me that in Chinese, in Mandarin, he say, "Xiu Xing is 完整的, 不是假的."
Yes. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. So it's like you really have to put your whole heart and soul.
Yeah. That's why it is. I used to say, it is a full time job. You remember?
Yes.
It is full time. It doesn't mean you have to work. Understand? It doesn't mean that you must retire from your work. No. Full-time is your daily religious routine is a continuous full-time activity. It takes you from the moment you wake up until the moment before you sleep. Means throughout the day, you must cultivate the daily religious routine, the mindfulness and all those things. The meditation, the chanting, the training, everything. Develop mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. Determined to be aware, to be mindful. So all this is part of cultivation. That's why it's a full-time job. Continue. Very good. That's why he will understand what I mean and what I say, and he will pick up all these words because his past is very strong. So far, I told Jin Hao and Deborah Zhang, he's the first one that has this past cultivation, the parami, to understand so fast and transform so fast. He's the first one. He's the fastest I have ever met. And not easy to have such a unique cultivator. Not easy. It's very rare. And he came on his own. Nobody told him anything. He just discovered through his own understanding, his own karmic affinity also, the affinity, the triple jhana. That's why he located me on the YouTube. And he has gone through a lot of interaction with other religious sect and all those things. But according to him, he knew what he was searching was not this type of teaching. What he was searching is something very different. Until he heard my talk, then he like zero in and go and do some checkup. Then he found our website. From there, he actually learned a lot. And for 1 year, he has been listening. Then in between, before the MCO, he actually had the intention to come and see me. But because of the MCO lockup, it gave him more condition to cultivate. Then he developed so much understanding and joy. Then he determined that day, he must come and see me. But he said his intention is to come and pay the respect and the gratitude. That's it. Then the moment I received that WhatsApp, I straight away knew, this guy mukan pan, otherwise cannot be like that. Then I just asked him, where are you from? And he said, Cheras. Then I said, okay, I will give you Chin Hao's contact. Then straight away you contacted him, then you talk, and you realize he was not ordinary. That's why you call me to arrange for meetup yesterday. And it happened to be Teacher's Day, The timing, everything was so beautiful. And the moment he came, I can feel him. I can actually sense him. And he was so beautiful, so humble. And he just paid his respect. He was full of joy that day.
He said that he couldn't find somebody to share with, is it?
He cannot find anybody to talk with.
To talk to, is it? About this. I mean, he has his own Sifu in Kelantan, and then he said that apart from that, he had a lot during the journey. He said that he had a lot of joy. You see, sometimes he couldn't find people to share, to understand him. All right, so he was very joyful. Is it?
He even replied on our Maikayamita website after I sent out that one. How many of you read his message? I read to you his message. His message was very beautiful. Okay. 5:29, he replied. He said, thank you for your precious sharing, Ratio. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Well, when he came, I actually shared with him a lot of things that he will need to understand. You are Chin Hao. And he was full of joy. Because even the Hui Ning's hallmark of cultivation, the no thought, Wu Nian, he has done. That one I know he has done. Then no mark, Wu Xiang. He has gone into it, but he has not developed the full understanding. I said, you will continue with it. But after that, the third one, the third hallmark, non-dwelling. And that one, I explained to him how to locate the gateway and how to develop the transformation, and how when the mundane mind collapse, how all these things can happen, then that no dwelling can happen. But that one is the higher path for Bodhisattva and all those things. But he can understand because he know. He's full of faith, no more doubt. And then yes. I gave him all the books, you remember? The lying down meditation, all things, the Pusatta, and also the Heart Sutta. They are also relevant. And he was full of joy. And he knew this one, money cannot buy. And he can recall what I shared on. Sing Wei Gen Ben, you remember? He mentioned all the unique code. He understand them so fast. That's why he know the cultivation, the two type of mind, the cell nature, everything. And he is so beautiful and the right view, everything. And he haven't met me, you know, before that. And when he came, he can just share all this. This is what will happen to the real cultivator, like I used to mention last time. I told you, remember, my last guy also told me he got nobody to talk to. Nobody can understand him. And he said, the whole universe, me and him and now, he said, we can talk for days and days. It won't end. So last night, after what happened to me in 1989, I also couldn't really find anybody who has the understanding. That's why for 15 years, I never do anything. And later on, when I started the class, I realized most of you all were so far behind, you were not ready. That's why I had to reverse my whole sharing. Then, like this Brother Chong, he has the same experience. He said he got nobody to talk to, because nobody can understand him. That's why he wanted to come and see me, pay the respect, and develop the affinity and all those things. That's how all this happened. And it was so beautiful. And I can sense what happened to him, because I know cultivator like that is very rare, and he has strong affinity with Triple Gem. He also have affinity with Junti Pusa. He told me the mother chant Junti Pusa. And when he was young, the mother brought him to Mahayana temple, and he wants to benefit the mother. He said next time after MCO, when the class over, he want to bring the mother to attend class also. So it was very beautiful. Sadhu. Continue. Finish already. It's just the precious advice. Finish. So, Jinhao, continue.
I mean, there's some alarm trigger at the Baita Taman there. Anyway, he asked me about my meditation, you see. So I said that I still have the Sankara and all these things. And then he said that he asked me, I have to be aware during my daily life, you see.
That one most important.
Yes,
so
he said that
order.
And he said that unless you are constantly aware about my senses or not being triggered away. During my daily life, or else, when it comes to the formal meditations, it's very hard to silence your mind.
Difficult to go into the meditative state.
That's right.
That is what you need to understand.
You say that once your daily mindfulness
is stabilized.
It will be very easy to go into the meditative stage during the formal meditations.
Yes, that's what I tell you all this time. That's why he came to know. Without sati and with sati, world of a different. Just like I explained to you, heedful living and heedless living is world of a different when you understand. You will never go back to the heedless way of living life after you have gone through the training. That is what it means. The real Dhamma, the real training. And this one is from somebody who is completely new and never seen me before. And yet he can understand so clearly just through listening to the YouTube. And our Kayamita has the printed book some more, transcript. And attend classes some more. But don't worry, because his nature is very different. So you cannot be jealous of him because his nature conditioned him to be like that. That's why those who have the past, they progress very fast. And like he told us, he actually really went for search for this Dhamma the last 2 years only. Seriously went and searched, but he couldn't find. He went all over until he bumped into the YouTube sharing that I gave. And he can recognize it straight away, you know. He got no more doubt at all. And he keep on listening after that. Then he keep on having the understanding, the transformation. That's why his nature inside, means it move already, you know, after he has developed the sati, after he follow what I advise him, that he has the past. And he, a lot of things impact upon him. Like the advice that I gave, whenever, you have to have the wisdom to accept the world is the world. People are just the way they are. He said that one impact upon him so strongly and transform him radically until he is at peace all the time. Last time he cannot. Then he contemplated, he reflected, yeah, this is wisdom. This is what he must have. The world is the world. Then yesterday he came, I gave him another dose of very profound wisdom. I keep on repeating what the Buddha said. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Means causes and conditions like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. He straight away connect to. Yeah. That's why it will enhance his wisdom, his understanding. Yeah. The world is the world. Means conditions like that, things will be like that. Yeah. Suchness, ta-ta-ta, the isness of things. He understands all this very fast. Yeah. He only need a few pointers and straight away he go in. Yeah. Because he was ready. He has his past. Yeah. That's why the real cultivator is very different. It's just like this life when I came. I was like him. I can understand truth very fast. No need much words. Whenever I encounter truth, I understand. I don't really need teacher in that sense. Yeah. Those guide and teacher that I say came to me is because of my karmic affinity, my vow, and my conditioning. Then they arise. And when they arise, it's always the right timing for the right truth for me to receive. But this is how my nature share and give. Then when my nature arise through this segmented life, when it need truth, it need teaching, they will surface, they will come, they will arise. They will come and see me. That's why I told you all, my teacher come, my guide come. I never go and see any of them. Then this Brother Chong one is slightly different. He know how to look for them. But then somehow he know how to appear and come and see me, which is very good because of the understanding and the condition. And he really had this strong joy, gratitude, respect and understanding. That's why it was so beautiful. And my daughter was around too. And she heard most of the sharing too. And my wife was also around. So it was meant to be so beautiful. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Anything else, you know?
No more, that's it.
No
thank
more,
you.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I was really struck me and really joyful.
Yeah, I can see you were in tears. You were amazed. Oh, because you witnessed it all, that this whole thing can happen or no. And then this guy that you don't know, I don't know, nobody know, suddenly appear with that kind of understanding.
Yes. So drop from the sky, is it?
The spiritual world is like that. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. This type of being exists. That's why I say if you are in the spiritual field, you will encounter many of them. But if you are not in this line, you hardly encounter any. You encounter most of the heedless one. That's why it's beautiful. Sadhu, sadhu. So okay, with that, I think we will end. We will do the sharing of merits, the transfer of merit. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Then we chant the blessing for the nation. Akasata cha bumata
Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itawata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tina Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Idang Menya Tina Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Idang Menya Tina Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teyo Devo Vasatu Kalena Sasa Sampati Heto Cha Pito Bhavatu Loko Cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Sattang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Eh? Then pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. We need to go to the washroom. Eh? Thank you.